Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Friday, July 28. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, Linton says conviction of former Dominican diplomat N.G. Lapsang shows that his concerns were legitimate. IAPA strongly rejects Cuban regulations where two people are under house arrest for practicing journalism. And UK police confirm there are reasonable grounds to pursue corporate manslaughter charges re-Grenfell Tower fire. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and a Fast Cash.
It's the Courts home event. Shop today and complete your kitchen, your dining room, and your entertainment room. Shop using Ready Finance. It's easy, affordable, and flexible credit. Plus, you pay nothing down on purchases 24 months and over. So come in today and get great deals to complete your home at the Courts home event. Courts, bringing value home.
Back to school time again, and those costs are adding up. Fast Cash wants to help you take care of all your back to school needs. It's simple. Just apply in-store or online for a consumer loan and earn weekly chances to win a tablet for back to school. Terms and conditions apply. For more information, visit our branches at Roseau and Portsmouth or call us at 448-3278 or 445-5257. Smarter, faster, better, Fast Cash.
Opposition leader Lennox Linton says the conviction of former Dominican diplomat N.G. Lapsang shows that his concerns expressed about the former diplomat were legitimate. N.G. Lapsang, a billionaire real estate developer from Macau, has been convicted of paying more than $1 million in bribes to top officials from the United Nations. A federal court in New York found him guilty on Thursday following a month-long trial. Speaking on Q95's Hot Seat Friday, Linton says it is for these reasons the UWP continues to call on the Foreign Affairs Minister to disclose the names of all persons who are not parliamentarians but hold Dominica's diplomatic passports.
The U.S. is not only interested in N.G. Lapsang. It has also expressed an interest, and there's a matter before the court now involving Alison Maduke. The United States is indicating now that they're not a safe haven for dirty money or stolen assets. And wherever they find out that those exist in their jurisdiction, they will hunt down the people. They will seek to have the assets forfeited and returned to the people of the country where they rightfully belong. Look at Francesco Corallo being extradited to Italy to face charges there, racketeering, fraud, and so on. All of these individuals, including Alireza Monferrer, these at some points in time were holders of Dominica diplomatic passports that we, the people of Dominica, knew nothing about. And the foreign minister tells us we have no right to know who they are. But they are being picked up by law enforcement around the world and dealt with. Our due diligence didn't tell us that anything was wrong with them. And these people in government who are responsible for those associations with criminals and rogue elements around the world, shaming the name of Dominica, have the gall to stand up and talk about who is negative. But they see no crime in linking the name and the rule and the governance of the country with rogues and bandits around the world. N.G. Lapsang is the most recent example of a convicted criminal now in the United States that at one point in time held our Dominican diplomatic passports.
For many Dominican citizens, the budget address presented by Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett on Thursday, 27th of July, is questionable. Economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine is one of those citizens. He says the sudden spike in revenue obtained from Dominican citizenship by investment program may be cause for concern.
The budget as presented by the Prime Minister is certainly one deserving of some discussion. And I guess people are wondering what's happening, because we moved from a budget, when we got the budget last year in Parliament, that budget was in the region of $550 million. And then suddenly we are being told that we have a budget of almost $900 million, almost $1 billion. And it is clear from this budget that we saw a tremendous increase in the proceeds or the revenue from the CBI program, which raises several questions for us. Because if people have been following my commentary over the past few years, they would know that I was one of the persons questioning why it was that the CBI program was only bringing in $20 million, $23 million, when I always maintained that we should be in the $500 million range. All of a sudden, we are seeing that happening. We are seeing this amount being registered, $500 million in revenues from the CBI program, which which is very interesting, and the timing is very interesting. So these are obviously questions that needs to be asked.
The government of Dominica says it is seeking to abolish the 15% and 20% income tax bans as early as the next fiscal year. This was announced by Dominica's Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, Roosevelt Skerrett, during his budget presentation on Thursday. According to the Prime Minister, this is in an effort to simplify the country's tax system with only one rate of income tax.
Madam Speaker, for us to achieve the bold vision enunciated in this presentation, we must have a tax system that incentivizes employment over consumption and income over idle assets. Consequently, Madam Speaker, we shall be directing the national fiscal policy to consider and advise on the abolition of the 15% and 20% income tax bans as early as the next fiscal year. Under this proposed system, Dominicans will only start paying income tax when the income reaches the 35% tax rate. This is a major, bold move, Madam Speaker.
Yes.
By this measure, we remove all the payment from the payment of income tax. All Dominicans earning less than what can be termed a decent middle income salary, and all of those earning more will only pay tax on the income above this level. In this move, we're saying to all that Dominica is a place that does not penalize work and income. The most important aspect of this change would be the increased incentives to work and earn, but it will also serve to simplify our tax system with only one rate of income tax. The National Fiscal Policy Panel will be charged with the responsibility of advising on this measure, and I would hope to be in a position as of the next fiscal year to gradually introduce this new income tax structure.
Mr. Skerrett also disclosed that by January 2018, the minimum income tax threshold will be increased from $25,000 per annum to $30,000.
In the interim, however, Madam Speaker, I am aware of the great relief that our tax structure, as modified over the last 7 years, has brought to hundreds of Dominican workers in the public and private sectors. We moved the income tax threshold from $15,000 to $25,000. And this has aided many. But I do not believe it has assisted enough of our employees. We shall await the advice of the experts, but in the interim, I wish to further ease the burden and enhance the cash flow of workers in Dominica by increasing the minimum income tax threshold from $25,000 per year to $30,000 per year. This means, Madam Speaker, that effective 1st January 2018, no person earning $30,000 a year or less will pay income tax, and those working for more than $40,000 a year will have the first $30,000 exempted from income tax deduction.
President of Dominica, His Excellency Charles Savre, is accusing the media of deliberately publishing propaganda under the guise of real news. Speaking at the opening of Parliament yesterday, the President described the fake news as a dangerous journalistic virus which has the ability to obstruct the country's progress.
Current Western journalism has become enchanted by the expression fake news. This expression, an offshoot of the digital age in which we live, was coined out of the tendency of various media outlets and websites to deliberately publish hoaxes, propaganda, and disinformation purporting to be real news. This fake news seeks to mislead rather than to truthfully inform readers. Our small, vulnerable island home has not been spared from this dangerous journalistic virus. It has had the effect of presenting a false and misleading picture of Dominica to the outside world, and has the potential to impede or even derail our development as we transition to a service-based economy by slowing down the rate at which much-needed foreign direct investment is attracted to our shores.
He added the negativity surrounding this fake news has denied and discounted the advances Dominica has made as a small independent island state.
The negativism which surrounds the packaging of this fake news also has the effect of denying and discounting the tremendous advances we have made and continue to make as a small independent island state. It decimates and seeks to render insignificant the tremendous progress we have made in infrastructural development and social protection in spite of our many challenges.
Former DAS President Dr. Clayton Chillenford says his investments into Dominica's banana industry post the Black Sigatoka outbreak was wasted by the personnel of Dominica's agricultural ministry. Dr. Chillenford told Q95 that in recent times he brought plantlets which possessed a high level of resistance against Black Sigatoka. He says although government officials attempted to develop the plantlets and disperse them to some of Dominica's farmers, the proper procedure to ensure successful yield was not followed.
Doing any research on new cultivars here, I brought in on three separate occasions from Biodiversity International in France cultivars of bananas as well as plantains that have certain levels of resistance to this Black Sigatoka. After that, there was no consultation. I never received a report. I don't know what the progress of the tests were. And as I say again, these are scientific things. Somebody has to follow the yield, somebody has to follow the quality of the fruit. I went to France, you know, to Vitropic, where these bananas came from. I know what happened there, and I know that this tissue culture plants came here. They were put at 1 mile in the Chinese greenhouse facilities there to be hardened. Mm-hmm. You have to harden the little tiny baby plants before you put them out in the field. There was some distribution, and then all of a sudden, silence. I have no idea because, you see, there is a complete lack of openness and transparency. The director of agriculture, the people who are involved as farmers and who may have been given these hardened planters to put out in the fields. And these bananas must now have gone past the production. At least the plant crop phase should have come in. But does anyone know where this thing is? No, sir.
And government says it has established an airport development fund as plans progress for the development of an international airport in Dominica. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett says this fund was established in May 2017 with an initial start-up of US $10 million from the Citizenship by Investment Program. The Prime Minister made this announcement as he presented the 2017-2018 national budget on Thursday. He stated further that government will meet with officials of the Eastern Caribbean Civil Aviation Authority next week as discussions on the construction for this airport continue.
We have moved forward with plans for the development of an international airport. More details of the selected site are ongoing. And just to say, next week there'll be a meeting of which ECHO will be represented to go over the next stage for the construction of this international airport. And take note, Madam Speaker, an airport development fund has been established as of May 2017 and has been capitalized with US $10 million from the Citizenship by Investment Program. And government has taken the decision that an amount of US $5 million will be paid into that fund on a monthly basis. And I will inform the nation later in this fiscal year on developments relating to this very important project for Dominica. So please, Madam Speaker, stay tuned.
In other news, the Inter-American Press Association has strongly rejected the regulation of the practice of journalism as occurs in Cuba, where a female journalist and her colleague are under house arrest and facing charges for practicing the profession. In Cuba, journalist Sol Garcia Basulto of the Camagüey magazine La Hora del Cuba and correspondent in that city of the news website 14E Media has been under house arrest since Monday. She was summoned on July 24 by local police for reporting on development developments regarding her accusation of alleged encroachment of legal capacity imposed in March of this year for carrying out interviews on the street and publishing them in the magazine. The agent in charge of her case warned her to hire a lawyer and declared in response to a question from her that Henry Constantine Ferrero, editor of La Hora de Cuba, would be later notified about the proceedings. And campaigners for the victims of the Grenfell Tower fire say individuals as well as local authorities should be held accountable for the disaster after police confirmed there are reasonable grounds to pursue corporate manslaughter charges. At least 80 people were killed in the disaster on June 14 when a blaze engulfed a residential tower block in North Kensington, London. To date, only 40 of the victims have been formally identified. On Thursday, London's Metropolitan Police sent a letter addressed to those directly affected by the fire to update them on the progress of the investigation. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Linton says conviction of former Dominican diplomat NG Lapsang shows that his concerns were legitimate. IAPA strongly rejects Cuban regulations where two people are under house arrest for practicing journalism. And UK police confirm there are reasonable grounds to pursue corporate manslaughter charges re Grenfell Tower fire. The news is brought to you through the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. I am Kimberly Benjamin.